Adam, what was the original idea that got you to write The Passion Economy?
It was a time, I took a long time to write the book. So we're going back to like 2011, 2012, when my main day job was writing really depressing things about how messed up the economy is and how many people are suffering. And I sort of stumbled upon some people who at first seemed like outliers, like, wow, these people are doing really well in ways that don't fit the kind of standard pessimistic narrative that I'm usually reporting. Over time, I became convinced, like, this is a real trend. There's something going on here. And it was really exciting to talk about. I think, weirdly enough, it was the last year that the ideas that I think I first saw way back then became far more well known and well respected. So for a while, I felt like
right.
I was a lone optimist in a very dark world.
And it feels like now there's such a wide range of tools enabling people to create stuff in the passion economy, from things like Substack to subscription newsletters and blogs and Patreons and more. When you were first writing this, that was all very new, if not even on the market.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a typical thing in massive economic change where some small number of people see the future and start hand building it for themselves, using old tools, using things that don't quite fit. And then eventually, if it's a real thing that's catching on, other people start building, you know, kind of prepared tools that, that folks can use. I think, you know, you can think of that, you know, whether it's stocks and bonds or the very existence of corporations or education. I mean, almost any, you know, labor unions, almost any major economic tool starts off in that way. And then eventually, if it has legs, develops. So I think, you know, I certainly didn't predict everything and I'm sure I got a lot wrong, but I do think I did see the broad direction early on. I probably, instead of writing a book, should have just started a bunch of companies, so I think the fundamental economics of this change were already well underway. It's just the tools have begun to catch up. Although I still think we're in the very early stages. We're going to see a lot more tools in a very exciting way.
So it feels like books in many ways are an original passion economy creation, sort of a passion project. You have a love of a subject and you dedicate all this time to create something on your own that hopefully people will want to buy. And now that is sort of changing with people writing in Substacks and subscription blogs where they're sort of building a library of content over time instead of making this one widget, putting it out in the world. I'm curious, how do you see books adopting as the passion economy changes?
Yeah, no, I think that what you just said is a good insight, a very good insight. You know, I'm 50. I started in journalism in the early 90s and followed a pretty standard traditional career at NPR, New York Times. And generally, you know, people who sort of got paid to think out loud or to write had to do it for an editor serving the purpose of a large organization. And, you know, that could be great and that could be terrible depending on where you worked and who your editor was. But, you know, the general idea was always that you sort of did the job you were assigned. You wrote the stories that your bosses wanted you to write. And then a few of you got eventually to pitch and sell a book where you started to be able to be yourself. And so when I look at, you know, kids today, I find it really exciting that you could actually just start that process. I mean, my son's 9 and we've shot YouTube videos about his ideas about space and aliens and stuff. You know, you don't have to wait like I felt like I had to wait in a more traditional 20th century industry. So I think you're exactly right. That being said, I think the book remains a really unique thing. I mean, it's for good and ill. I don't mean necessarily it's a great thing all the time, but you know, if you are somebody who's trying to share ideas, share stories, you know, having a book that a big corporation has paid for, that there's like a specific release date and a marketing campaign around, it is a uniquely loud way to share your ideas. And the other great thing that books have that I don't think we yet have with Substack and Racket and Clubhouse is a risk sharing. So, you know, from what I understand, a publisher typically expects 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 20 books to make its advance back. And that's essentially a risk sharing mechanism where those 9 or 19 people who weren't profitable in their book were able to get an advance that covered the cost of production, supported by, you know, the few successes. And I think I do hope the broader creator economy adopts that model, because I think we'll have better content, better creators, etc.
Yeah, very interesting. It's almost the venture capital model for startups, but that's something that publishers have done for years with books. I think Substack has pursued that.
We wouldn't have Google and Amazon without pets.com. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So you've touched on this a bit, but I'm curious, as an NPR host, a contributor to New Yorker and other publications and magazines, and now as a published author, how do you see the difference in content creation through each medium, from sort of the short and medium form to the very long format?
I mean, there's so many differences. I mean, the hardest thing for me really was that you're kind of your own boss when you're writing a book. You know, I grew up with editors who had really strong opinions about what I should write, how long it should be, et cetera. Eventually I became the boss telling other people that. Whereas with a book, it really is a lonely, scary thing to kind of, you're on your own for a very long time. Something that really came as a surprise, and I don't know if I want to say this is a universal law, but it certainly was true for me. A book actually needs to have a simpler idea. The very fact that it's so long means that it has to have a fairly clear and relatively simple thrust to it that you can follow. Whereas if you're writing a column or an article, you can actually cram a bunch of different ideas in. In fact, you want to. It makes it more exciting and dynamic. So that was a real surprise to me. I think they're wildly different. And there's a ton of books out there that really should have been a blog post or a tweet. I don't want to overstate this simplicity. I mean, it has to be a simplicity that can also be thought about and explored over, you know, 100,000 words or whatever.
So we've got about a minute on the clock left. I'm curious about your upcoming course around the passion economy. What are you hoping to do there, and what got you to do a course now that you already have a book published?
I am so excited to do a course. I think that the thing that I really am excited about is transformation. And a book, I think, is a great way to open people's minds to the possibility of transformation. But this is what I kept hearing from people. You really want to have your hand held. You want to, like, really be guided through the steps, and you want to do it in an intimate way. And so I've been wanting to do a course forever. Back when I created Planet Money, I had desires to do courses. Cause I love the idea of, you know, the pressure's on to not just tell a good story or have fun in a book, but to really change people's lives. So I would say that's what I'm up to. I hope.